Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
A winning mindset is in the calling of God for our life. God called you into life, and he called you to live your calling. By forming the talents that enabled you to thrive, using your abilities to make a God kind of difference in our world. A winning mindset then is our way of thinking and feeling in order for that to be accomplished every day within our life. It's a choice that we make. But a winning mindset must be based upon what is true. Have you ever lied to yourself? I have. I remember when I was 17 years old, just graduated from Bernie High School, said goodbye to Vicky, hopped on a plane, went to Charlotte, North Carolina, went through a week of training school, was out on the field selling books, including the Bibles. I was ready to share the gospel each and every day, out on the country red clay roads of North Carolina or in town. And then I discovered that's hard work. Getting up before sunrise and not returning back to the boarding house until after sundown. The hardest part is I didn't like what I was doing. We were taught a song in training school. The song went something like this. It's a grand thing to be a bookman. It's the best thing I know. Goodbye to know and never, and goodbye to doubt and fear. I sang it every morning. I had to sing it through the morning and the afternoon and the evening just to convince myself it was true. And after about 2 weeks, I realized I was singing a lie to myself. It was not a good thing to be a bookman. And it certainly wasn't the best thing I knew. And I had a lot of doubts and fears. It was hard to say goodbye to them. And then something happened. Something happened in my awareness that my mindset needed to change. Like you, and caught in those moments, we ask, how do we change the mindset? Then it became, I changed a key word in my song. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. Goodbye to know and never, and goodbye to doubt and fear. Ooh, that worked when I got started in the morning. And what that did, it reframed the day for me. It was still that hard, laborious work of knock, knock, knock. Hi, my name is Les Holland, working my way, but about to go to Baylor University, trying to pay for some tuition by my work this summer. I'd like to show you a few books. Slam. Slam. But about one out of every four was, sure, let's talk out on the front porch. And what I discovered, it was a way of opening my heart to everyone I met. It wasn't about getting just a yes or a no. It was about meeting the person. And meeting the person because the Lord was with me. The Lord was with me in a purpose. If a sale happened, then so much the better. But if a sale didn't happen, it was still worthy to meet. Now, not bragging, just saying, I was also became the leading salesman for the company. The change of the mindset is what occurred. Being able to meet this grandmother who just prayed every day for her grandchildren in which she wanted to buy one Bible for each of her grandchildren. Or meeting the man who lived way out on the red clay road, no electricity. He pumped his water by priming his pump, drawing up the water from the well, shaving each morning with a straight razor, and sitting out there and talking about life. I gave him a Bible. Or that lonely housewife. And I quickly learned boundaries, staying outside on the front porch. But realizing there was an ache in her heart that she just needed to talk to someone, somebody who could be reliable, somebody who could be a good ear. And I chose not to try to sell to her because of how it could be misused. But I remember the feeling in her aching heart. Or the woman whose home I sat on a crate. That was her chair, which she had saved money And she bought a couple of Bibles for the family to give as Christmas gift 6 months later. And then there was Leroy's home. The woman who met me at the door wasn't fully dressed. She wasn't his wife. But I sold him a Bible, told him the story of the gospel. For some reason, weeks later, when I went to deliver the Bible to the house for them to finish paying for it, his wife was there and she didn't want to buy it. You know, these are the kinds of experiences that we all have in work. Different ways, different form, different details. And what enables us to have a winning mindset in whatever our labor of life is the understanding that we are working our call and our talents by something greater than just that moment. That by truly finding a sacredness in the life of the other person, by truly taking each conversation as a divine appointment, and just to see what God would do is what made it come alive. How about for you? Barbara Purcell allows me to tell the story that after last Sunday's sermon, the second of the four sermons on these messages about faith in the workplace, that every day this week, driving to school, on her way to teach school, she just prayed through the sermon of that Sunday. Said, Lord, these are students. You've given me these students. You've given me a calling. You've given me talents to teach. Let me honor you by how I teach in the classroom this week. Faith in the workplace is just living our faith wherever we are. The workplace can be and is certainly every time that we show up for work where we get a paycheck and we earn compensation. The faith in the workplace can be your non-for-profit organization. It can be in your family in the kitchen. It can be in the sense of wherever you go, there's a divine appointment that God has for you to connect. And the mission of the church is to equip us, empower us, and envision us, and see our place in the world. And it happens through the mind connection of a mindset. Now, let's be clear about what a mindset is. It's how you see the world by your attitudes. A mindset is a set of attitudes that shape how we think and feel. There are 238 references to a mindset in Scripture. And each time the mindset is referred to in Scripture, it's a reference point of a character who either soared and succeeded or plummeted and failed according to the mindset he had about God, himself, and other people. And the sense of seeing that larger life purpose, we know how important it is. When you wake up in the morning, the one gift that you can give yourself and you can give other people is to make sure that your mind is set in a right direction. That's why Paul wrote Romans 12. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Rome. That's why Paul wrote a message to the Roman Empire where there were a million citizens. The Roman Senate ruled. A Caesar was on the throne. And they thought they controlled 50 to 60 million people. And Paul said, I want to tell you about a different creed, a different confession. And it is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christos y Kyrios was the revolution that ultimately changed the Roman Empire. Now, there's an obedience to give to all of our relationships here that are worthy. But we serve only one master, and that master is the ultimate master. Shaping yourself according to God's mercies, not being controlled by the world. That's how he opens. And Romans 12:1, by the shaping force. What shapes your mindset? What shapes the ideas that form your thoughts, the values that form your feelings, the beliefs that give shape to your faith? What is the mindset by which you enter each day? Right now, Paul wants us to get clear of how he opened the passage that Christian Brew read for us so well. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in Romans 12:1, therefore, brothers and sisters, I encourage you, I urge you by the mercies of God that you present yourself as a living offering, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and this is your true and reasonable worship. The word there is worship, can be translated service, can be translated work, but understanding that if we worship the Lord, God will put everything else in perspective for us. But if we worship our workplace, then our highs and lows will be automatically determined by our workplace. If we determine our self-value only by how what others think of us on any given day, then we again will be set into a series of highs and lows. But if we let our thermostat, our mindset, be set upon our relationship with God as we do the sweaty work, at times bloody work, at times bump and bruise work, and at times it is just good high five, thank you God, the kind of day I want to have every day kind of work, the Lord is with us and will see us through. That's the mercies of God. Now, no one is to be the Lord of your life. Your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your boss, that problem employee at work is not to control your mindset. Your mindset can be set directly in your relationship with God in a servant heart attitude by which then you bring it into all those other relationships. And so Paul lays out in Romans 12 about how to treat each one equally and well because of our mindset unto the Lord. Now Paul had to remember this. He wrote in Romans 12 about how to give care to our enemies. He helped the people to remember what was written in Exodus 27 about treating strangers with kindness, of how not to dump coals upon people who seek to hurt you, but to turn that into the opportunity to try to win the relationship and win their hearts. Jesus came as the fulfillment of what God had always wanted to be in place. And Paul did it in the most difficult circumstances. You know, some of us just recently returned from Rome, and in returning from Rome, again, of seeing the setting by which Paul would go. Now, when Paul wrote the letter to Romans, he had not yet been there. He knew the power that came from there because he was a Roman citizen. He knew the power that could come out of the Roman Colosseum that still stands today as a power source from the ancient world. And you go west from the Roman Colosseum, then you walk into the Forum where the marketplace and the dialogue and the conversations of the most powerful city would take place. And you go a little farther to the west, just as a force of intimidation, was the Maritorian prison. And the Maritorian prison was where Paul and later Peter would be imprisoned because they wouldn't be controlled by the mindset of Caesar, the mindset of bullies, the mindset of I'll do anything to get by and just to survive. Paul said, I will do anything for the Lord to be a service in the needs of the people. But don't try to control me by having me to do the immorality. And in speaking that word, he was imprisoned. Eventually, he'd be executed. Now, talk about intimidation. The emblems of the Roman Colosseum, the Forum, the prison that was there. And then as you drive to work tomorrow morning, think of the intimidation that may be waiting you there. And give that to God and see what God will do. And what you may do at work is help to change the workplace for others by the attitude that you bring by not being conformed to the workplace. That's number two of the mindset. First, we are shaped. Then we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. We can't just do this on our own. This includes positive thinking, but it's not just a matter of positive thinking. That's what I tried. That's the lie I told myself. It's a grand thing to be a bookman. It's the best thing I know. Goodbye to know and never. Goodbye to doubt and fear. I mean, I was all into that positive mindset. But the point is, that wasn't true for me. But what was true for me is the Christ who could see me through and teach me lessons, engage, and find a way to win. And the same is true for you. That's one of the ways that I pray. We pray for you. As a church, we pray for each other, picturing you during the week. And as we picture you during the week, praying that, Lord, just be with him and be with her, lifting you up into God's presence, and that you be that witness of the Lord exactly where you are, where you are. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind. The Apostle Paul wrote a lot about that because he was a terrorist. He was a repentant sinner like me. He was somebody that needed to have a renewed mind. He couldn't do it on his own, but by the power of Christ, he could do that. He could see people differently than how he saw them before, not judging them by the color of their skin, not judging them by the status of their education, but seeing them as a person created with hope by God, with a calling in this world. That's God's great purpose and joy. How do you see people by your mind set? Now, Paul had one mind for Christ. He was not double-minded by the sinful tendencies of this world. His mind was set on going to Rome in person to be able to share the gospel. He was mindful of the needs of the people and how God would use the mind of Christ in order to accomplish that, shaping his mind to think of them. These are just four ways that Paul would use that term of the mind of Christ. The sense of this power. You know, this past week, what I think was a remarkable, dynamic lady passed away. A dedicated follower of Christ named Barbara Bush. And a few years ago, she was interviewed. And she talked about a practice of prayer that she and her husband George would use.
I pray, George and I pray every night out loud. And sometimes we fight over whose turn it is. But we do. And I have no fear of death, which is a huge comfort because we're getting darn close. And I don't have a fear of death for my precious George or for myself, because I know that there is a great God.
You remember on Easter Sunday when I just named it for all of us, that Jesus defeated that bully death, and when we're not afraid to die, then we're free to live. And then we're free to take the risk appropriately for God in our lives and with our talents, shaping the abilities to do what needs to be done as it needs to be done, where it should be done, and when it should be done. This discipline of taking the faith in the workplace and applying it as we go. So we are then shaped by the mindset. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds in Christ, and that we are doing what God lays out as right. That's the will of God. So when Paul was describing this description in Romans 12, 2, he says, now you can know what is that perfect and acceptable will of God in Romans 12, 2. You'll be able to test it and see it to yourself. And at times it's really hard to figure out. But once we get it clear by saying, well, I'm going to treat others like I want to be treated, the golden rule. And I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself, part of the great commandment. And I'm going to be honest and truthful. And then I'm even going to not respond like my enemy has responded to me. Rumors been spread about you in the workplace by this person who wants your job or is trying to hurt you or trying to undercut you, has been jealous of you. And instead of trying to send that another vicious rumor back through the workplace to harm them, that just escalates it into a whole war. But instead, go directly to that person and I say, I've got good news for you. What you've been saying about me, you need to know that this isn't true. I know that's been really hard on you. It's been weighed on your shoulders. You've probably been under a lot of stress because that's what you were thinking. And I just take that off of you. Now, if you don't take it off your shoulders and you keep saying what you're saying, then we'll have a different conversation. That kind of face-to-face or to say to the person who gave you the news, now, don't tell anybody who told you this. But somebody told me and somebody told them, and I'm not the only one who knows. There are a lot of other people who know about this too. But you can't say who it was that told you. You know, have you been in that situation before? That's a no-win situation. And then in that situation, what you simply say is, I got good news for you. It's not true. And all I ask is that you turn around in that same grapevine. That same texting message, that same social media, the same telephone call, the same office cubicle, and to say, you know, I checked this out and I got good news. It's not true. Would you pass that along? Just pass it along. And it creates a counter-revolution by honest people responding in love and honestly. Now, we're tempted to want to set our own standards of right and wrong. In our recent trip out to Big Bend with 53 others, I saw this sign, and I sure thought, I'm going to get the sign and use it wherever I go. Now, that's a fun sign. But I realized That's not true. There's no place we can go legally driving at 250 miles per hour on the public road. I can't recreate that right or wrong. And so what we can do is ask, Lord, in this workplace, right as Paul laid it out there, have this mind in you. Let it be part of the renewal of your life. And as this renewal happens in your life, then you will be to see yourself wherever you are and wherever you go in the promise of what he gives. He says, you know, don't be arrogant. Be humble in the workplace. This enables you to know that you can be equal and valuable to each and every person. Love, be sincere. Hate what is evil. Be known by that. Cling to what is good. Be a person that people just know that about you. You can be devoted to one another in love. This is living in the relationships of Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's using your spiritual gifts, your talents for the Lord in a place that builds up the whole body of Christ, where we're not looking to say, look at me and how much more important I am than you, or you are than the person next to you or to me, but how it is that we need each other. And that's what builds up the spirit of winning, that esprit de corps in the workplace and the body of Christ working in the world. Never be lacking in passion, but keep your passion serving the Lord, not your own ego. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Practice hospitality. These are all applications of the mindset of this being a follower in Christ. And everyone can do this. And by doing this, we win in life. And our mindset helps God to win in the ways of others by the life they live. How about it? Let's have that winning mindset that is so real it can see the worst of the cross and the openness of the resurrection. And when you won that battle, you win all the other battles. The Lord of your life has set you free for freedom to serve his way and your best way in this world. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and we need you. We come in the mindset of heaven to live our earthly lives. We know that you know that we know we're human beings. We sweat through temptation every day. We stumble and at times fall, but your grace gets us back up. You bring your mercies and you hold us close. You heal us from life wounds. You hold us accountable where we can feel guilt or shame, and then you set us free so we will be free indeed. Oh, this is what the world needs as well as what we need. Thank you that you've given us a way to win in life. We come through Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.